We come tonight to paragraph two. We've completed paragraph one, and we come to paragraph two, and that reads thus. The end of God's appointing this day is for the manifestation of the glory of his mercy, in the eternal salvation of the elect, and of his justice, in the damnation of the reprobate who are wicked and disobedient. For then shall the righteous go into everlasting life and receive that fullness of joy and refreshing which shall come from the presence of the Lord. But the wicked, who know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, shall be cast into eternal torments and be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, this section refers to the end or the purpose of the last judgment. That's the main theme of this paragraph. We are reminded again that that day is of God's appointing. The end of God's appointing this day is for the manifestation of the glory of his mercy and of his justice. So it's an appointed day, it's planned, it's decreed, and it has a purpose. There's a plan. And that plan is the divine end in that judgment. And that end, as with all the purposes of God and with all the works of God, the end of anything that God does is his glory, his own glory. That is the purpose of every work of God. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. That's what the Bible says. Why do all of God's works praise him? Why are they all destined to praise him? It's because he has ordained it so. That's why he works. It's for the praise of his glory. It's to manifest his greatness and various aspects of his glorious nature. And that was the end of creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's why that starry heavens up there is so vast and so beautiful. It declares God's glory. The firmament shows his handiwork. So it reveals his power, it reveals his wisdom. It's manifesting his glory. Romans 1 verses 19 and 20 teach the same thing, that which may be known of God is manifest. There are things about God that are manifest. How have they been manifest? Well, Paul says, God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So Paul here is saying that God's glory is manifested in his creation. And even though he is invisible and his attributes are invisible, by his creation of the world and his creation of us in his image, we are able to see something of his power in his creation. We can understand it took power to make the world. And therefore we can deduce that God is powerful. And so in creation he reveals the glory of his power. All God's works do this, manifest aspects of his glory. The work of redemption, that manifests the glory of his grace. Ephesians 1 verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And so we know that salvation and God's redemptive work in Jesus Christ, that's revealing his grace, showing that he's gracious and merciful. And there's a final judgment.
so that that also will manifest his glory, certain aspects of his glory. All God's works praise his name. And the work of the last day judgment will do the same. Now, the important word here in this paragraph in the confession is the word manifestation. The end of God's appointing this day is for the manifestation of the glory. That's why it can't be private. If it's private, it won't be manifested except to that individual and to each individually themselves. But there'll not be that glorious manifestation in all its wonder unless it's public. And that's why it is public. One of the reasons why it's public is because of this manifestation to all the creatures. And that's why all the creatures are there. This is a great day, the great day of manifestation. And all the creatures are going to have to be there for this. Because there are many of those creatures who have said, God is not just. Many of those creatures will have said, God is not merciful. God is not good. And this day is set so that it will be manifested to all creatures, good and bad, that the Lord is glorious in his goodness and justice and mercy and all his attributes. And so he's going to manifest his glory. And that day is for the manifestation of his glory. And he will receive great glory in that day. All the creatures will witness awesome displays of his majesty. They will see the glory of his power, the power that brings them all together, the power that raises them from the dead, the power that searches the consciences. They will see the manifestations of his omniscience, how he knows everything, how he knows all hearts, how he is the revealer of all hearts. There'll be the manifestation of the glory of his omniscience, his knowledge. There'll be the manifestation of his wisdom. But the divines emphasize two attributes particularly. They emphasize, first of all, his mercy, because the end of God's appointing this day is for the manifestation of the glory of his mercy. So that day, his mercy is going to be seen. It's going to come to the fore. It's going to be evident. And it will stand out preeminent in the person of the judge, Jesus Christ. They will see his mercy in that day. And then it will be seen that his mercy is great unto the heavens. Psalm 86, verse 13 says, great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. I mean, the psalmist could say that when he was on earth, but how he say it then in the day of judgment, when it becomes so real and so self-evident and there's not a shadow of a doubt about it anymore. He will see that God's mercy has been great toward him, and all the sheep will see that as well. And they're being delivered from the lowest hell through the mercy of the judge. So it manifests this mercy. But the divines also say that it manifests the glory of his justice. The end of God's appointing this day is for the manifestation of the glory of his mercy and of his justice. So that stands out as well. The judgment throne will be seen to be righteous, and this justice will be to the fore, just as his mercy is. Now, justice is always the foremost thing in any judgment. That's why it's called a judgment, because there's justice at it. And on earth, that should be so. In every court of judgment, every tribunal should be just. But often it's not on earth. And that's another reason why there has to be this Justice Day, to make up for all the injustice, even in the courts on earth. You know the old saying, there's no justice in this world. And there's some truth in that, humanly speaking. But this court, this last day judgment, this tribunal is one of justice, complete and absolute justice. And the justice in that day is the reason why all the host of heaven and earth can rejoice. Psalm 96, verse 11, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. Why is there this rejoicing? Why are the heavens rejoicing? Why can the earth be glad? Why can the sea roar with the gladness that it feels? And the fields are singing and joyful. And the woods, as it were, rejoicing and clapping their hands, the trees clapping together. Why are they able to do this? Well, the psalmist tells us. They do it before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. So you see, there's a rejoicing world because this world that's lay under the curse, it's lay under sin and injustice of man upon it. But now it's all going to change. The Lord's coming. And at last, justice. Justice seen, justice done. And then shall it be seen that the Lord's righteousness is like a great mountain and his judgments are a great deep. And he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light and judgment as the noonday. The Bible tells us, Psalm 89, verse 14, that justice and judgment are the habitation of his throne. They abide in his throne. They're never put out. There may be some times when a court on the earth will say, well, we'll have to put justice out here. It doesn't abide there. It's not done at times. But in this court, it's the habitation of his throne. It dwells there. It abides there. It's never homeless. It's never put out. And it also says in that verse, mercy and truth go before his face. And you could apply that to the judgment day. There are these glorious attributes. Justice, the habitation of his throne as he judges the nations. And then the mercy before his face, which he shows especially to them who are on his right hand. Justice and mercy.